Why Water Baptism, Part 16. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of Jafashua in South Africa, Montana, Pretoria. Should you require any of the books which I've written, or have any questions, maybe the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rottenham version, which I have a couple of copies left, please contact us at 0722-367-124. That's a WhatsApp number, plus 27 international code. Otherwise, go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you will participate in the study, Why Water Baptism, I urge you to go to part 1 and start from the beginning, because you have already missed a bit of information. It's very important to subscribe to the channel. You are very, very welcome. Subscribe to the channel so that you can be notified about all the other studies that we are currently busy with. Please share this link with your friends and family. Make sure that you have a 1611 King James Bible, a pen and paper or writing pad ready. It's impossible to know that we, it is important to know that we do not associate ourselves with the following people: any Messianic group, the Israel Vision groups, the Hebrew Roots movement, the Sacred Name movement, the Yah movement. We are not part of the Jehovah Witnesses movement or even the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are not affiliated to any church, denomination, group or organization in the world. Listen to what I've said. We are not affiliated to nobody. Instead, we are only an end-time Bible study group, and we are functioning throughout the world. Hallelujah. We are mainly using the ancient original Hebrew Sacred Name Bible, which was translated by Dr. Joseph Briand Rottenham in 1860. And this is one of the oldest English/Hebrew Bibles that you will ever lay your hands on. According to the ancient scriptures, the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the name Jesus was originally Yahashua. The name God originally was Elohim Hashim. The name Lord was originally Yaffa. The name Holy Spirit was originally the Ruach HaKodesh. We refer to ourselves as Yahfists and not as Christians, according to 1 Peter 4 verse 16. I trust that the study will be a blessing unto you in the wonderful name of Yahashua. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. I just want to say, it's important that we do these announcements every morning, because we have new people that participate in the studies, and they don't go to the part one. They just want to listen to what I'm saying, and that's why they need to know what we are standing for. Why water baptism? Now, we're starting with a new heading, the spiritual funeral. The spiritual funeral. Now this is a very delicate portion of this of the study. Because to become bright involves a spiritual funeral. If there's no spiritual funeral, there's no way that you can become bright. Not according to the word. To understand what is meant with a spiritual funeral is to understand what the Bible, according to the following scriptures, have to say. Throughout the last 600 years, many different English Bible translations were created to suit different church dogmas and teachings. That's why there's nearly 400 English Bibles in the world. Again, it is necessary to study every letter and word in the following scriptures. We don't just need to study the sentence or the verse. We need to look at every letter and word. Why? Because there's meaning in it. And in that is a chance that a revelation, a mighty word revelation, can occur in your own life. It's of utmost importance to understand the figurative speech in the scriptures. You must listen to the figurative speech, because Apostle Paul is addressing a spiritual funeral, but he's using figurative speech. And you know what? Although we are living in the 21st century, in the time of knowledge, there are still many people that can't explain what is happening in the Bible. Isn't that funny? And these things has been written 2,000 years ago. With all the know-how and the internet and everything available, people should know everything, but they don't. And that's what the devil is using against them. It's of utmost importance to understand the figure of speech in the scripture. Otherwise, will it be impossible to come to the Bible meaning, listen to what I'm saying, the Bible meaning of what has been said. A following scripture starts with a question. Romans 6 verse 1 to 23. Now we're going to walk through this slowly because it's very important to know what the word of Yahweh says. What shall we say then? What shall we say then? Question mark. Did you notice? Romans 6 verse 1 starts with a question to every one of us. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in, I want the word to add the word our. Shall we continue in our sin? Because this scripture is not necessary for a group of people, but it is also meant for the individual. When I look at repentance and when I look at people wanted to be immersed, I look at individuals. I don't always just see a group of people. Although we normally have groups that come together when we immerse people. But it's individuals that has been, that first has repented and now want to be immersed, be buried in the name of Yahushua to the forgiveness of their sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in our sin? After we came to repentance, do we want to continue in our sin? Sinful way of living, sinful way of talking, sinful way of acting and performing. Or do you think we need to be changed? You see, when you come to repentance, something happens within my soul's dimension. Something happens within that will automatically shows outside. What does the bear the witness? That which people see, that which people hear, that which people smells. That which people can notice in our reactions under certain circumstances. That's the way that we can. It's easy to say, I've come to repentance. But it is different to live a repentful life. That is important. And that's why Apostle Paul is asking this question. Shall we continue in our sin, that grace may abound? Because there's grace, we can just carry on sinning. Now, when I think about the scripture in Revelation 3 verse 12 to 22, 3 verse 14 to 22, it says, were you cold or warm? But because you are lukewarm, I'm going to do what? I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You see, because we're living in the age of grace, we are today. The seventh church period is a period of total grace. And because of grace, people are taking advantage of it. A lot of people think that they can proclaim to be repented. They can claim to be a new person. But when they behind closed doors, where they are behind closed curtains, where they are behind where you can see or acknowledge them, they live different. You can bluff me and you can bluff your brother and sisters, even your husband and your wife, but you can't bluff Yafar. You can't bluff the Ruach HaKodesh. Even before you spoke, he already knew what you're going to say. And that's why the Ruach will say, hey, what are you doing now? Don't be stupid. That's how the Ruach speaks to people. Especially when you want to continue. You want to continue in your sinful ways. You claim that you've been saved. You claim that you are new. You claim that you are different. But your ways doesn't account for it. And that is what makes the difference. It's not always what we say, but what we do. It's not what we say, it's how we react. In the moment, the spur moment, how we react to a situation. What comes out of my mouth? Shall we continue in sin? The question is, shall we continue in sin? That grace might abound because we are living in the age of grace. We can just keep on sinning. Because every time I will ask for forgiveness, there will be immediate forgiveness. You know, there comes a time that the scripture says that Yafa won't tarry with men forever, but her Ruach will turn away. If you continue in doing the same sins over and over and over, knowingly, you're going to have a big problem. Because on one stage or another, you're going to shout for forgiveness, you're going to shout for grace, and then it won't be there. Why? Because you continually do the same thing over and over. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The Apostle Paul addressed the questions and he gives the answer. He says, Yafa our Elohim forbids. In the 16:11, God forbids. God. Which God? You see, in the time of Yahushua and Apostle Paul and the apostles, they never used the title God. They were addressed him as Yahweh the Elohim because they knew his name. Because the veil has been torn. The veil in the temple has been opened, which was sealed for 4,000 years, were opened unto the apostles of Yahushua. Yahweh forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? If I claim to be repent, if I claim to be living in a life that's been changed, if I claim to acknowledge the blood of Yahushua on the cross, and I keep on sinning, I actually are contradicting my own conscience. Because he says, how shall we that are dead to sin? So with other words, Prof, after you've come to Yahushua, you will never sin again. That's not what I've said. It's not what Apostle Paul meant. The moment that we pray for forgiveness of our sins, the Bible says that we are standing in front of Yahweh, and for a moment in time, the grace, the blood of grace that overflows our lives, on that minute, that moment, that second, we stand before Yahweh our Elohim as if we have never sinned. If we call upon grace now, who's grace? Grace is a person. Did you know that? G-R-A-C-E, capital G, is a person. Do you know who's Grace? Grace is Yahushua hanging on the cross. Grace is He that has given His life for every one of us. And we know Him by His revealed name. The name above every other name. The name Yahushua. Till tomorrow morning, if Yahweh's will, Maranatha, Yahushua's coming back again. Hallelujah.